Welcome to Bold Talk Radio with your host, Pat Williams. Hello, everybody. Good evening. Yes, it is true. I am your host, Pat Williams, and thank you for tuning in and listening to this podcast series called The Friend Zone and Why You Must Kill It. And now we're on part five. So please listen to 1 through 4. Leading up to this, I think you'll find it rather entertaining and hopefully educational as well and informational as well. So where we left off on the podcast is that in segment 4, we left off where the infatuated one must make their feelings be known to the platonic one, but must be prepared, fully prepared, for things to go horribly wrong. And that's so necessary for the infatuated one in the friend zone, because if you assume that it's going to turn out to be some type of fairy tale and, oh, we're both going to just be in love and we're just going to get married and, you know, run off to, you know, the Bermuda somewhere and have 20 kids and live happily ever after, that may happen. But life has a funny way of not always letting Fantasy Island come to life. Which, by the way, let me just kind of sidebar and say Fantasy Island was a great show. Grew up watching that as a kid. And, you know, if you guys can find that, you check it out. It's a great show. Because one of the things that Fantasy Island, the moral of it, of that TV series, was that the fantasies would come true for these people, but then they would find out, like, oh my God, you know, my fantasy, what I thought was going to be so great, actually sucks. It's actually terrible. It's actually put me in a very bad way. And so the whole moral of that was be careful what you ask for, which ties in perfectly to what I'm saying about the friend zone. So once the infatuated one makes it plain that these are my feelings, I want to go to the next level in a relationship, be prepared for it to absolutely break terrible. Be prepared for it not to go your way. Be prepared for great rejection. And why does the rejection feel so harsh? If it doesn't turn out to the way you want it, if you're the infatuated one in the friend zone and the platonic one, the platonic friend is just like, well, no, I don't really want to, you know, go to the next level with it. I just want to be friends. Why does that hurt so bad? I will tell you guys why the rejection is much harsher. The stakes are higher. Because listen, when you don't know a person, like I mentioned in the last segment, if you're meeting someone at a bar, at church, or on the street, or even at a job or on a gig, if you're just meeting somebody in general and you don't know them, there's really not a lot of skin off your nose about it, because there's not a lot of skin in the game at that point. You don't know this person, they're a stranger, you're a stranger. And that's the whole thing. It's all about getting to know you and getting to discover if you're a creep or if you're just a wonderful child of God and everything's going to be just fine and dandy, right? But that's why the rejection from the friend zone, if you happen to get rejected in the friend zone, and trust me, there are times where that happens to people more times than not, it's a higher level of rejection. Because think about it, once you become a friend to a person, or you guys become friends, the thing is that you already kind of went beyond that place where you've gotten to know each other. That's why people say, well, the best lovers are our friends. You know, what makes the best lovers are people who start out as friends, which I absolutely agree with that. But that should not be a modicum or a rule of thumb for most people. I'm going to tell you why. And I think that's the reason why the friend zone happens, because you've got people, some people who've assumed, well, okay, we started out as friends. And so it's only that natural progression to start as friends and move into something more romantic. But see, that there's a downswing and a downside to this. If you start out as friends, some people just want to keep it that way. And this is in particularly very common amongst the opposite sex and heterosexuality. You know, I'd probably have to, you know, talk to someone who may be LGBTQ to see if that would, you know, if some of these truths hold true to those types of relationships. But I know from a heterosexual standpoint, I mean, that's the thing, because when a man and a woman come together as friends, in some people's minds, they already have this imprint on their thought that the natural progression is to move to the next level of a romance. And because people tell you all the time, hey, the best relationships, the best marriages, the best romances started out as friends. And that's very true. But that doesn't mean that'll necessarily be true for you. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the other person on the other side of that friendship equation want that to be true for themselves with you. So this is why the friend zone even happens. Because you've got one who's kind of got that imprint, and you've got the other one who's like, no, we're just friends. We're just homies. We're just brother and sister kind of thing. And so if that happens to the one who's infatuated, that can be very devastating, because that person, when you're getting to know someone, you're already coming to the table and saying, okay, I like you. You like me. I know your favorite snacks. You know my favorite snacks. I know your favorite color. You know my favorite color. It's almost like you get to cheat a little bit when you can start out as friends. And if you're so blessed and fortunate to transition that friendship into a love affair, that's like primo, man. That's like cherry on top. That's awesome. If you can do that, and if you're afforded to do it, because now you've already gotten past so many of the hurdles of the getting to know you and all of the learning curve that you would normally have to do when you're just meeting a total stranger. I almost hate to say it, that, you know, friend zone relationships are like the lazy man or the lazy woman's way to a romance. Because if I meet you, we become friends, I get to experience you and get to know all of that, the good, the bad, the ugly, the mundane. I get to know all those goodies and not so goody things about you and still like you. And so if there's a way we can channel that to a romance, man, all the better. So that's why the rejection level in a friend zone thing is so much more heightened. It's so much more heightened because in the mind of the infatuated one, in the case of rejection, the thought is, well, I thought you liked me, or I thought you found me some level of attractive, or I thought that we had so much in common, or I thought that, you know, we would be just a perfect fit, because why? We're already halfway there. You know, we like each other and we get along, and there seems to be some level of chemistry. So that's what I would tell the infatuated one. You have to be the most prepared to kill the friendship. You have to kill the friendship. If it breaks bad, do not stay in trying to have a friendship, because it's going to eat you up. Tell the person, listen, you know what, Mr. and Miss Platonic one, I'm so sorry that you don't feel that way, you know, but listen, I appreciate it. Now, the Platonic one, 9 times out of 10, is going to say, well, we can still be friends. Let's just be friends. You tell them, no way. No more friendship. Nope. Sorry. Gotta kill it. Kabosh. Good night. Goodbye. Deuce. Out. No more friendship. And I'll tell you guys why on the other side in part 6. Thanks for tuning in.